Oh, amen. It's good to be in front of people who want to be in the church of God tonight, Lord. I mean, it really is a blessing to have everyone here to want to hear from God's word, especially when there's so many other things that people could be doing. I stand before you, probably one of the most unlearned, uneducated, untrained, right? One of the most worthless people to stand at pastor's pulpit to preach God's word. But yet it's amazing what God can do with somebody when they get a hold of your heart. It's one of those things. I mean, I had this grand message when I thought about this, and I think I talked to Pastor about a month or two ago about preaching, and then something happened, and I backed out because I didn't feel my heart was right. All right, and then God's like, hey, I got something for you. Right? And this is what I want to share tonight. Right? This is what I would like to do. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to hold on tight. We're going to see what God has for us, and we're going to pray I don't mess it up. How's that sound? Amen? Amen. All right, let's give everyone a stand. Turn to Job 1, please. Job 1. While I was turning there, a little background about the book of Job for me. So I've been in the Navy for just under 14 years. I've gone over this to a lot of people. For about half of that time, I was completely unsaved, living just, you know, a sinful life. I mean, I was joking around with some friends of mine from back in the day when my first deployment. I don't even remember what stuff I was doing. It's just, you know, it's amazing to see just what a change can happen when God gets a hold of you, right? You never know what's going to happen. All right, a buddy of mine, Richard Flanagan, so if he ever hears this, hopefully he gets to hear his name on. That's awesome. I'm sitting here going through a difficult time in my life on deployment. This is my third deployment right before I got saved, and he's like, if you think you got it bad, he's like, why don't you try reading the book of Job? So I had my Bible with me. For whatever reason, this deployment, I had it with me. And I'm like, where's Job? He's like, it's spelled J-O-B. I was like, oh, I thought it was Job. All right, Job 1. We'll start at verses 8 and go through 12. And it says, and the Bible says, and the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? There is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Pay attention to this verse now. Hast not thou made an hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power, only upon himself. Put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. Let's pray. Dear Lord, as we discovered, Lord, I'm not worthy to preach your word, Lord, but I pray that your power flows through me, and that the people get to hear what you have to say, Lord. And my words are useless. My words mean nothing. They're empty, Lord, but your words mean everything. You've given us the scripture, Lord, to learn from, to gain knowledge, Lord, and wisdom as we've been learning today, Lord. I pray that your wisdom is put out today, Lord. Be with those that are hurting, Lord. Be with those who can't be here tonight, Lord. I pray that they have safe travels wherever they're going, Lord. And I just pray that you guide us tonight and let us have a great fellowship afterwards. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. So, I'll go ahead and give you the title. Mostly because I couldn't think of anything clever, so I just kind of named it something. Maintain your bushes, right? Everyone wants a nice, clean yard, right? Maintain your bushes. And it's kind of funny because, you know, you go through and you read scripture, and there's so many words that are used. And I know pastors talked about this numerous times, and I guarantee I'm not the only one up here raising my hand when I say this. Where I'll read a portion of scripture, I'm like, I don't know what that means. What are they trying to say? Why is God putting a bush around a dude? I don't understand. What does that mean? Well, magically, there's several references we can use, right? I have a concordance. It's about yay thick. And I'm telling you, doing this study before this message this past couple weeks, I have never turned pages in that thing so much in my life. It's amazing to find out the stuff you can learn. But I tell you what, each word is used so intricately well, and it means so much, right? So I jokingly use the term maintain your bushes, but I tell you what, this analogy is going to make sense. It's going to make sense. So, hedge in Hebrew is defined as, and I pray I don't mess up this word, as suk, I believe is the word how you pronounce it. And it means to entwine, right? As in to shut in, to wall up, to protect, right? So I'm thinking, why that word? Why not just use to protect? Funny thing. After doing some research about modern marvels and things used with, you know, God's creation known as earth, you come across certain things. There's this thing called a Cornish wall used in the medieval times that was used to protect most fortresses. Cornish wall would stand sometimes up to 8 feet tall, with about 2 feet thick worth of concrete or stone built up that they would put these beautiful flowering hedges around. So charging armies would think, hey, I've got a weak point in this fortress. And they charge headlong. I kid you not. I read this up. This is pretty funny. They charge headlong into it and smash into a brick wall. It's amazing. Right? So I started thinking, what other things have we used God's creation for to protect, right? 1797, the USS Constitution was committed. The oldest commissioned ship in the United States fleet, dubbed Old Ironsides, named after the Battle of 1812 with the HMS Guerriere. United States President George Washington actually gave her that name because during that fight, the Guerriere was bombarding the Old Ironsides, hitting her, pelting her, tons and tons of cannon. We're talking cannonballs. We're talking several hundred-pound cannonballs, and they're bouncing off. All the sailors are saying, sir, talking to the captain, you know, they're bouncing off her sides like she's made out of iron. She's not made of iron. She was made out of white oak. White oak that was interlaced, that was latticed, front and back on top of each other, entwined, if you will, right, to where that ship could withstand cannon fire, which no other ship could at the time, entwined. Right? What an amazing form of protection we use. Right? We as a society are bombarded, if you will, with tons of things that just, one, we don't either don't need to be involved in. I definitely don't want to see. Right? We talk about people this morning who are, you know, all of a sudden I think I'm a woman and I'm going to get that changed. Right? I had a conversation with a family member about this not a couple weeks ago. And she's basically, I had made my point very clear how I felt about it, and I will never apologize for that. I stand on my principles and my morals that I find in Scripture, and will always stand for that. Every chance I get. And we got in this discussion about it, right? And, you know, my family member kept using the word she, and I said, stop. First off, he is not a hero, right? We're using this term hero to define someone who's willing to change what God created them to be. Right? I don't define that as hero. I define that as cowardice.
Amen.
Heroics is standing even though you don't want to. Courage is standing when you want to run. Courage is fighting when all everything else is against you. That's courage. The true courage would be to stand even though you're having what doctors have discovered is a mental illness, standing strong and fighting for what's morally correct. That's just one small thing. Let's take a look at TV today. Let's look at TV today. TV today alone, right, paints parents as morons, for lack of a better word. We're all dumb. That's what society thinks of us, as parents, as adults. Hey, by the way, go drink this. It'll make you cool. You want to be part of the in crowd? Go smoke that cigarette. Hey, go to Vegas. Whatever happens there stays there. Whatever happens stays there. That's exactly what I want to do, right? Wait, it doesn't stay there. God knows.
Amen.
God knows.
Amen. Right?
We look at our country. We spend billions of dollars on national defense. Right? Billions of dollars in national defense. Let's take a look at our homes. We spend hundreds of dollars on ADT systems, security cameras, and things like that. Movie stars. Thousands upon thousands of dollars for bodyguards, protective services. The president's limo costs $1.2 million just so it's bulletproof. Quarterbacks, NFL, spend millions of dollars to get an offensive line to protect them from getting hit in the face. That's probably good protection. What about our Christian walk? Folks, what about our Christian walk? How much are we spending on that? What are we doing with that? I tell you what, it doesn't cost any money. You can do it scot-free. All it takes is opening a book, learning what God has for us, learning His will in our lives. Right? We find all the time that I tell you, it saddens me this day and age. I often wonder back with when Spurgeon was preaching, if you could look at the world today. Back when Spurgeon was preaching, he'd talk about, you know, the devil in the world and all this other stuff, right? I envy him. He lived in a time where he didn't have to worry about the bombardment of the outside world much like we do now. Correct me if I'm wrong. Tell me I'm wrong. Tell me it's not getting more and more wicked as time goes by. It is. It's okay. We're going to esteem people who don't even have a moral backbone, for lack of a better word. right? We live in a world where I'm just going to go to a church that tells me everything's happy and okay. That means I'm good. Yay! Folks, it's not okay. God's word hasn't changed in years. 1611. This was written in 1611. Right? Just the King James portion of it. Right? The scripture's obviously been written way older than that. Guess what? They haven't changed. What was true then is true now. If it's good for them, why is it not good for us now? Why are we okay with watching, learning, and living with things that are going to affect our minds? Do you guys realize that to build up a bad habit, it takes anywhere between 3 to 5 attempts? It takes 3 or 5 tries to build up a bad habit. Take a gander how many times it takes to build up a good habit. 21 to 35 times to build up a good habit. Why is that? Because our flesh likes the bad. It's easy. It's easy for me to quit. I talked about this last time. It's just so easy to quit. It really is. There's no effort in quitting. There's no effort in quitting. So maintain your bushes, right? This hedge of protection is something it's available for everybody. There's something we need to notice, right? So hopefully we all understand the story of Job, right? So Job is one of the few people in the Bible specifically mentioned as being perfect, right? Job is mentioned as perfect. And Satan is now walking with God this time and saying, hey, what about that guy? I bet I can turn him against you. It's like you have this hedge of protection about him, but why don't you take that away and I bet you I can get him. You think you aren't susceptible to that now? You think Satan's not walking around going, man, this is field day. Look at that. I got you. I got you. I got you. Where's your hedge of protection? How are your bushes? You maintaining your yard? It's very easy, right? We understand the story of Job, right? We got 30 some odd chapters, if I remember. I used to remember the number. I don't anymore. I'm sorry, 42. I almost said 32. 42 chapters in Job of how Job just gets, for lack of a better word, just destroyed, right? Everything but his life taken away. And what does Job do? He stands. He maintains his bushes. He fights. God took the protection away, but he still trusted the Lord. And how are we doing, Christian? How are we doing? Right? I've got some points to make. I've got 4 or 5 points to make, and we're gonna start of where does our protection start? So, point number one, if you're writing this down, where does our protection start? Right? You have to have a starting point. You build a home, you start with a foundation. Right? You build a sports team. You got to start with a front office or a major league player. NBA, they talk about this big super. You have to have the one big superstar to build a team, right? You go to any kind of major infrastructure. You have to start with a strong local base, a strong idea, right? There's always a starting focal point of every major thing that has to be created, right? You go back to creation itself. Right? There's always a major focal point of here's where I'm starting, now let's branch off from there. So where's our starting point? Right? I would say it's the Ten Commandments are our starting point. Exodus 19, 12 through 13. You can turn if you'd like to. I'm going to go there and illustrate it for you. It says specifically, and these aren't the Ten Commandments, right? So this is prior to it. It says in Exodus 19, 12 through 13, it says, And thou shalt set bounds unto the people round about, saying, Take heed to yourselves that you not go up into the mount or touch the border of it. Whosoever toucheth the mount shall be surely put to death. There shall not an hand touch it, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through. Whether it be beast or man, it shall not live. When the trumpet soundeth long, they shall come up to the mount. This is God with Moses setting up the start of the Ten Commandments. Right? So why did he say it like that? Because he had a standard. This is what I want. This is the basis. Why are the Ten Commandments there? Because they're a standard. Right? The type of job I work, there's always a standard. So we have the gold standards, right? In my line of work, we have standards in which I calibrate things to. I have a meter that has to go a certain range. I hook it up to a piece of equipment. It's going to tell me if it's within that range. It's called a standard. How else do I know if it's working right? If it doesn't work right, I get rid of it. I get a new one. Or I repair it. Right? You talk about fine jewels. There's always a standard cut. There's always something involved with, here is what, for lack of a better word, perfection would look like. Is it always achievable? I think all of us can sit in this room and say the Ten Commandments. There's not a single one in this room that can say that they have not violated at least one of them. Guarantee it. But that's still our standard. That's the starting point. Right? It doesn't mean that that's the ending point. That's the beauty of it all. Right? Even if something goes out of standard, right? So I have this piece of machine that I'm calibrating. It doesn't come up quite right. Guess what I get to? I get a chance to repair it. I get a chance to fix it. Does it mean it's always going to come up to 100%? No, it's going to be within a band. And then I'm allowed to use it. Right? There's always a foundation. Right? Luke, if you'd like to turn to Luke chapter 6, please. This parable is one that's been told so many times, and we should all know it and know it very well. So Luke 6, verse 46. Parable of two builders, right? And why call me Lord? Lord, and do not the things which I say. Right? And why call ye me Lord? Lord, and do not the things which I say. Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon the house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built on a house upon the earth against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of the house was great. But do what the Lord tells me, I put my house on a rock. Doesn't matter how hard the waves of trials beat against us, my house will stand. But if I do not what he tells me, I might as well just go ahead and destroy it myself. Amen. Why wait till the waves come? Amen. I've already missed the mark. I've already missed the standard. But luckily, the Ten Commandments aren't the end point. Right? We have more. Amen. Right? The hedges thing is such an important thing. Right? The preparation, right? Digging your roots deep. Making them strong. Holding on to them. Right? Will allow them to withstand, like building your house on a rock. Because Psalm 2, right, verse 1 says specifically, why do the heathen rage? Right? We know it's coming. We learned about it in Sunday school. We learned about main service. Right? Those who are wicked and unsaved, they're going to come after us. It's going to happen. And it may not be as in your face, you know, you stinking Christian. It's not going to be like that. It's going to be slowly. It's going to be, hey, why don't you come over to my party? Like, there's good. You don't have to bring anything. Just come over and hang out with us for a little bit. Why don't you come out and, you know, the boy's going to go out to the bar. Like, we can get water. It's okay. It's fine. You can get water. It's okay. We won't judge you. Hey, there's this other thing coming on. Why don't you came to these other things. Why don't you want to come to this other thing? And slowly, you find yourself, you start chipping away those hedges. You start chipping away that wall of protection that's there for you. And then what? You can't tell yourself from the others. We're called to be a peculiar people. I look forward to when one day someone says, hey, you're kind of weird. Amen. I am weird. I love my Lord. I'm sorry. Actually, no, I don't apologize for that. I won't. I won't. Ephesians 6:16. Right? Fiery darts of the wicked. Right? Fiery darts of the wicked. The Bible keeps telling us over and over again, it's coming. Right? You don't know, but it's coming. Watch your back. Why not have a strong hedge of protection? That Cornish wall we've been talking about. That sounds kind of fun. I think it looked kind of nice in my front yard, this big old brick wall with a giant rose bush in the front. Pretty cool, right? Point number two, right? Can't have shrubberies, can't have bushes unless you trim them. Otherwise, they'll get wild and out of control. Oh, preacher, what are you talking about? You gotta trim your bushes. You never trimmed bushes before? Who's trimmed bushes? Right? We all trim bushes, right? How do you get to the bottom of them bushes? How do you get the nice deep parts? You gotta get in there deep. Right? That's where it's all made. That's where animals will build their nests. Right? It's okay if the top part looks great, but what about the bottom? Right? How far down are you gonna get? How far are you gonna get down there to make sure all that's cleaned up? Right? Effectual, fervent prayer. That's how you keep your bushes trimmed. You realize that a bush that is well trimmed and maintained will last longer and have better flowers and have better fruit productions of fruit if it's a fruit growing bush than one that's not maintained? That's interesting. If I maintain my bush, it's strong. The roots are stronger, they're deeper, it's healthier. All the deep parts get all the sun you want. Man, it's amazing. But to get those deep parts, you got to be on your knees, fellas. Ladies and gentlemen, get on your knees. Get on your knees. Effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. But that first prayer that's ever heard, prayer of salvation.
Amen.
You can pray all you want. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, I don't hear you. Lord, I need this. I don't hear you. Sorry, I don't hear you. That's why it says, the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The Bible tells us there is none righteous, no, not one. So how do I get righteous? That's right. Accepting Christ as my Savior.
Amen.
Once He's on my account, I'm righteous just like Jesus was.
Amen.
It doesn't mean that I'm not going to make mistakes. That's why I've got to keep trimming my bushes. We confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. That's not the prayer to the unsaved. That's not preaching to the unsaved. That's to the saved. If I confess my sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. But if you do not know Christ as your Savior, you can knock all you want, asking for things, begging, Lord, please, I'm in some troubled time. Help me. Help me. But He's not going to hear you. Your bushes won't get trimmed. Constant prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. It's a tough verse to memorize. You ready? Pray without ceasing. Why tell us that? Because it's important. How many of us start our day with prayer? End our day with prayer? Boy, you spend some time on your knees for a while.
Amen.
Pastor called me young. Sometimes I don't feel that way, especially after the gym, but my knees are good. They bend.
Good.
I don't do it. I don't do it anywhere near enough. I'm raising my hand. I'm here. I'm preaching to myself. I told you guys when I started, this was God. He was poking me. Saying, this is for you. Then He tells me, go share it.
Yeah.
My knees work great. Why aren't I on them more? My bushes are shaggy, I'm telling you. But it's never too late.
Right.
You can recover a shaggy bush.
Yes.
You can get it back. God didn't make it to where we couldn't fight our way back to Him. God doesn't walk away from us. He will stay put if we turn our back. And He will wait. But we have to make that turn. Job 1:5, if you're still there on Job. There's a key part to think about with Job. So Job 1:5, this is obviously before all the stuff happened to Job, but I want you to get the mindset of this man. You know, a fantastic example of a God-fearing man, fear being reverence, right? It says, and it was so when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning, and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned, and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. Not conveniently, Thus Job did continually. Not when I need something. Continually. Boy. How many times we just thank God for just being. I don't do it enough. I'm telling you, I'm preaching to myself up here. Please don't think I'm attacking anybody. I'm preaching to myself. There's so many types of prayers in this world. Prayers that we need. When was the last time we prayed for our nation? This was a God-fearing nation. All right, those who were here last time I preached, this was a God-fearing nation. Pray for weakness. Write these down if you like. If you're going through weakness, 1 Corinthians 10:13. I did some research for you. If you're afraid, 2 Timothy 1:7. Battling Satan, James 4:7, 7 and 8. Draw nigh to God, He'll draw nigh to you. You need something. We all need something. The question is, do we need what God wants us to have? That's the real question. I need a Mustang 5.0. We're going to miss. I need to spend more time in your word. I'll give you more time.
Amen.
I'll find more time for you to be in my word if that's what you need.
Good. Amen.
Needs are not wants, right?
Yeah.
As a chief of the Navy, we sit around and we go through this training cycle, right? Indoctrination, some people call it hazing, some people call it torture. I call it somewhat enlightening, right? Define that we as humans have this innate morality, but yet we don't understand it comes from a creator. Right? Ask somebody what right and wrong means, and they'll tell you. They'll say, hey, that's right. Ooh, I can't believe you did that. That's so wrong. Well, how do you know? Well, I was told that. By who? Well, I don't know. Because it's inside of you. God created us to know right and wrong. Where does that morality come from? Think about it. Where does it come from?
Amen.
I came out of a wicked life with no one but two people praying for me. But I always knew what right and wrong was. Because God created us to know that. It goes back to those standards we were talking about. There's a standard. Everyone knows those standards. Dwelt inside of us. You need strength. Philippians 4:13. Do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me.
Amen.
That's not strength for me to go to the bench and get a new personal record. That's for sure. All right? That's strength to stand for what God needs me to stand for. To have the courage to go up to somebody randomly and be like, if you die today, do you know where you would go? Boy, I need to pray that some more. Oh, right. I'm not a small dude, but you know, I'm terrified to talk to somebody randomly. Terrified. Absolutely terrified. Not because of what they're going to say and not because of what they're physically going to do. Right? I'm not worried about anyone physically harming me. Like, Pastor and I went soul winning a while ago and I was walking around, I was joking with him. I was like, I feel like your bodyguard. Had my sleeves all rolled up and bald head glistening in the sun. It was nice. To tell you the truth, I don't know what I'm afraid of. I'm not afraid of my salvation. Definitely not afraid of my testimony. I'm proud God saved me out of the life I did. If God can save me, He can save anybody. There's prayer for worries. There's prayer for enemies. I joke around, and I hope I don't upset anyone when I say this, but I joke around about the Bible. And not in a mean, hateful way. In any stretch of the imagination. But if you could think of a scenario you're going through, I guarantee you the Bible has an answer for it. Call it Living's Guide to Living. Right? It's pretty amazing. You can find the answers you need. You just gotta open a book. Spend some time on your knees. Talk to God. Just talk to Him. Have a relationship. See what happens. Number three. Fertilize and feed your bushes. Everyone's got to give it some Miracle-Gro. Right, we all need some little help every now and then. All right, what do you mean by that one? This analogy is getting weird. No, it's not. You guys understand. Study God's Word. Feed it. Bible. Jesus tells Satan, man cannot live by bread and water alone, but by every word of God. Right? Where does that come from? It comes from studying the Bible. You can't build a beautiful landscape without fertilizer. It just doesn't happen. Go take a look at my yard. It's really ugly right now. You gotta feed it, right? That feeding's important, right? Digs the roots deep. Grass, plants, won't forget where the water comes from. Just gotta get the roots nice and big and stretch them out there. So if someone tries to take your rose bush because it looks nice and pretty, it's going to hang on for dear life. It's going to hold on to the ground. You're not going to take me. I'm good. Why is that? Psalm 119:11. You don't have to turn there. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. 2 Timothy 2:15, study. First word, study. To show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Why is all that in there? How many times does the Bible speak about hiding the word in your heart? Studying, understanding, rightly dividing the word of truth. What does that mean? I did some thinking about this. This is an amazing thing. It was an epiphany. I pray it's from God. I believe it is, right? But I'm sitting there, I'm right to defining the word of truth. And I'm sitting there at my computer and I'm thinking about this. Like, why does that say that? Then I started thinking. Just saw a post on Facebook about a guy who went out and let's just say he had a good time. And he started talking about he's looking forward to his walk with Jesus tomorrow. He's a saved Christian, supposedly. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Discerning what is right and wrong. I mean, there's so many gospels out there right now, but there's only one true gospel. It's only one truth. It's the Bible we're using right now. Think about it. If it was as easy as me being a good person, one, I probably wouldn't make it to heaven anyway. Two, why did Christ die? This is a historical fact that Jesus Christ died on the cross. No one has said that that is mythology throughout our time. But yet we still, as a society, don't grasp the importance of Christ dying on the cross. And then the importance again of Him rising 3 days later. But yet we got churches all around the Bible Belt. Hey, come on in, give us some money. You're saved. Congratulations, go home, have a nice day. By the way, go do what you want to do. Come repent on Sundays. You're good. Hey, say these 11 Hail Marys, these 7 Our Fathers. Make sure you give some money to the deacons on the way out the door, and make sure you kiss some babies. Yep, it's out there. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Right? Think about the whole armor of God. The very first thing, what does it say? Right? Gird your loins about with the spirit of truth. Truth is the foundation. You think about old knights' armor, right? Back in chivalrous days, right? They got to carry this thing. It's about 260 pounds of armor, just kind of just clomping around. Right? Did you realize that every piece of that armor is connected to what's called a girdle? That holds it all together. Without that girdle of truth, it all falls apart. It can't do what it's supposed to do. The armor doesn't work. Your protection is broken. If your truth is not sound, your protection is broken. What hope do you have if you don't have the right truth? It's not there. You might as well have a piece of paper and carry around as a shield going, yay, I'm good. It's sad. It saddens me. I've talked to this man many times. First question I asked was about his salvation. And he gave me a rough rendition of it. It upset me a little bit the way he described my Savior, if you will. Because it's personal. If you don't call him your Savior, then is it really personal? It's my Savior. It's your Savior. Right? I asked him how many people in this church. They fill up the Colosseum. Colosseum sits several thousand people. All learning this false gospel. All thinking they're okay. Well intentions, good wishes, and false gospel will send you to hell. Pastor talks about the importance of making sure people know the truth. Is it important yet? It's gotta study. Because if you don't know what the Bible tells you, how are you going to answer them who have questions? Those fiery darts that come at you. If your hedge isn't strong, you haven't studied, you haven't fertilized it, how are you going to answer them? But hang on a second, I'll get back to you. Right, there's verses that we can fire back with right away. We should know. I'm guilty of it. I don't know them all. I don't know them all like I'm supposed to. I'll tell you right now, I don't. I think that's why God is having me talk to you guys tonight. Because I need to. Number 4. Locate your hedge in the right place. Location, location, location. I've got this big Cornish beautiful wall I've had built, and I'm going to put it over here. Everyone, all y'all are over there, but I'm going to put it over here. That wall going to protect me against anybody? It's going to protect me against that plastic ficus. It's safe from that ficus. I don't have to worry about it anymore. What do I mean? Don't be afraid to talk about your Savior. Let everyone see your wall. Let everyone see what you know. Why not be proud of what you have memorized from the Bible? Be not ashamed of your salvation. Location's everything, right? You think about businesses, right? So I have two options to place this state-of-the-art electronic center where everything is done for you. Right? I'm going to make this stuff up because I don't know anything about electronics, so sorry. Ah, better yet, I got you. So I'm going to build this garage where I'm going to charge half price of what everybody else charges. But I'm going to put it where no one's going to drive. Man, that doesn't make any sense. Worst business guy ever. If we're proud of what we know, if we're proud of our Savior, if we're proud that we've trusted Christ, if we're proud of our hedges, wouldn't we want to show them off? But I tell you what, I would love to be able to put a hedge of the year sign out in my front yard. I'd love to. You got the nicest hedges on the block. Thanks, man. Took a lot of time, a lot of praying, a lot of studying. But you know what? My God made it all worthwhile. It's never in vain to study the Word of God. How many other things could I be doing? A lot. What should I be doing? 1 Thessalonians 5:22, abstain from all appearance of evil. 1 Thessalonians 5:22, abstain from all appearance of evil. That's the start of putting your bush in the right place. If you claim to be a Christian, which I believe everybody here tonight is, because otherwise, why would you be here? Let's be honest. How many churches have Monday service, Monday Bible study? I said Monday. Morning service, morning Bible study, then evening, doors are closed. Wednesday, doors are closed. Why? NBA Finals are on tonight. I got a pregame to get to. I got parties I need to get to. Man, what's LeBron going to do tonight? But we're here studying the Word. Amen. I'm glad you're here. That's for sure. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Why? Because our perception is our reality. Right? You guys see me up here and I'm preaching to you guys. Then you watch me get in my car and follow me to the bar and watch me slug it down a bunch of beers. Everything I just said is now gone. All right, a man's reputation or a lady's reputation is gone like that. Doesn't take much. Put your hedges in the right place. Let the wall work for you. Right? Let's think about the Constitution, right? Instrumental ship in the Battle of 1812. Let's say the guys building it got the thatcheting wrong. They put them all in the same direction. Right? White oak's not a strong wood. First boat, if I remember right, that was built with white oak. It's actually very weak. It allows flexibility. But you thatched it, right? Like lattice, like on the top of a pie. Boy, I love pie. Right? To build up strength. It allows for flexing, right? It made the side of the ship almost like rubbery iron. What if they messed it up? We wouldn't have that ship here today. If you don't let your protection, the protection God has given us, right? The outline He's given us for protecting ourselves against evil, if you don't use it right and don't put it in the right place, why have it at all? It's important. All appearance of evil. What does that mean? Boy, go to work one day, and I know there's a couple people in this room that understand when I talk about going to work and hearing conversations you definitely don't want to hear about. Right? How many times do you get up and walk away? It's as simple as that. Pastor talks about it. I don't get paid. The United States government, your tax dollars don't pay me to soul win. Boy, I wish they did. But I can do the same thing by getting up and walking away. Hey, chief, why are you walking away? Because I don't want any part of your conversation, guys. It's inappropriate. Put your bush in the right place. Final point, I'll be done. Show it off. Right? Show off the work of Jesus Christ. Right? Use your testimony. Right? Jesus Christ didn't save me in vain. He saved me for something. Boy, I'm praying I know what it is soon because I'm getting close to being retirement. I have no idea what I'm going to do when I get out of the Navy. But I tell you what, I got an idea. No matter what, it's going to be talking about His Word. Amen. Show off His Word. Revelation 12:11. Promise to be the last bit of turn. You can give your fingers a break. Revelation 12:11. I have the wrong version, sorry. The verse I have written down is not the verse in Revelation 12. Hopefully I'll think of it in here in a second. It says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. That's it. I'm sorry. I just didn't read further. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. They loved not their lives unto death. Job 23:10, but he knoweth the way that I take, and he hath tried me. Right? Trying of a metal, getting out the impurities, heated up. Metal melts at different rates. Take out all those impurities. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. You're missing out on some real protection. Doesn't mean you're not going to struggle. But you're missing out on some real protection. Just believing is not enough. Matthew 7:21-23. Those who just profess Christ, prophesied in His name. And they say, Lord, Lord, we not prophesied in their name. And He says, I have known you not. I don't know who you are. I don't know who you are. You can do all the good works you want. Say it's all in Jesus Christ's name. You have not accepted Him as Savior. He's not going to know you. Oh, I don't want to be there. Praise the Lord every day, I'm not there. Too many Christians are afraid to say that. Just because you're a good person doesn't mean you're going to heaven. You have to accept it. You have to. There's so many things. We spend so much money on protection this day and age. Right? Just showed you five specific points that cost zero amount of money to protect your spiritual walk. Protect your walk with Christ. To allow Him to use you what He wants you to do. Well, there's tons of things I would love to do. I would love to fly. I'd love to be a professional athlete. Mix paint at Lowe's. Something. But what does He want me to do? He's not going to use me if my shrubbery isn't strong. If I don't keep my bushes trimmed. If I don't feed it. Show it off. Show off His good work. Show what a vessel into salvation I have become through Him. Not what I did. Because I couldn't do it. Obviously. I got 27 years of proving that I couldn't do it. Then I got 8 years to prove I could through Christ.
Amen.
Have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I love You. I thank You for the opportunity to preach Your word tonight, Lord. Lord, I pray we have a wonderful fellowship tonight. I pray that hearts are softened, Lord, that Your words are what was said and not my own. Lord, I don't know what You have in store for us, Lord. I pray that You continue to guide us, protect us, Lord. Pray that we keep our hedges strong, Lord. Pray that You continue to protect us in the way that You see fit. Lord, I love You. Thank You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
I'm going to ask you, if you would, stand to your feet. I'm going to have the piano begin to play. Tonight we've heard a message that's for our safety, to be honest. It's for our safety this evening. What are we willing to do? The invitation is open. I want you to have your heads bowed, your eyes closed. I want to just ask you some questions here. What have you done recently? It doesn't cost us anything, as Brother Joey had mentioned very clearly. It doesn't cost me anything. I don't have to pay any kind of a monetary price beyond my knees, asking the Lord for His protection, giving Him credit for what He has done. I thank the Lord that He has already paid everything that I needed ever to pay. Anything that I could have done, He took it upon Himself. And so now He looks at us and He says, are you willing to protect your life? Are you willing to protect it tonight? If you say, I know I'm saved, I know I've been born again, then I ask that simple question one more time. What have you done recently to protect your Christian life? You are under attack. That is without question. Oh, I'll have her play one more verse tonight. Perhaps there's someone here this evening. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed, no one's looking around. Let me ask you this question. Is there someone here tonight who would have to say, Pastor, I don't know where I would spend eternity. The whole Bible tells us about how we can know. But I don't know. I have no idea where I would spend eternity. If I'd go to heaven, or if I'd go to hell. So play another verse. Would you be honest with yourself? Would you be honest with God? Would you be honest with me tonight? If this evening you say, I don't know where I would spend eternity, would you simply raise your hand and say, Pastor, that's me. I don't know where I'd go. I don't know. Christ is my Savior. I've never been born again, but I need to. And I'd like to have someone show me how. This evening, if that's your case, oh, would you be honest with God tonight? Would you raise your hand and say, I need to be born again? Now, gracious Heavenly Father, as we close here this evening, we want to thank You so much for what You've done, Lord. What You mean to us, Lord. Everything that You've given to us. I thank You for the safety, Lord, that You give to us. Lord, I thank You for the illustration, Lord. Something that would seemingly be so simple. A hedge placed about a life, Lord. Lord, what would that mean? Well, to us, Lord, to me, the hedge would seem to be nothing. But dear God, I know that to You, Lord, it can be the difference between whether I will be a failure, Lord, whether I will succumb to the forces of the devil, or whether I will stand in faith with what You have made me. Lord, I pray that we would choose, that we would be asking, Lord, that we would be on purpose maintaining a hedge about our lives. Dear God, that you would protect us from the fiery darts of the wicked one, Lord. Please bless us here this evening. Lord, I ask you, pray that you would just give us safety course as we travel home in a moment. Lord, I thank you for the food that we're going to eat. I do pray you would bless it to our bodies. Lord, I pray that we'd be nourished by it. But Lord, I pray even more that we'd be nourished, dear God, in our spirit by the fellowship that we'll have. We thank you for it. Bless the evening, Lord. Thank you for Brother Seferani. Lord, thank you for his willingness to open the Bible, Lord, and to preach to us what you have laid upon his heart. We ask all of this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.